Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Blender, the world of hypothetical video games. I am Matt, and I'm here with not Scott, because Scott has run away and abandoned me, which is part of the reason this episode is a little bit later than usual. But we have friend of the podcast, Pete. He's back. Cheer.
Hello.
Woo, 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 woo.
Hello.
I want to have some sort of, you know, the clicker things that spin round. I want to have one of those I can just permanently just be using.
Yeah. Well, I just like being called not Scott. I think it's much preferable to Pete, so I'll come on this podcast as much as I can, just to be called Not Scott.
Not Scott. It is very useful that it's your surname. It's very convenient.
Pete and Not Scott.
But Pete, you've come back on. It's lovely to have you back on. The two previous games we've made together, just to just segue into what the podcast is, we will be making a brand new game, hypothetically. We'll be putting things together that shouldn't be put together and making something fun out of it, something that we feel could exist. Now, previously, Pete, you've done two episodes, I believe. One of which ended up being a comedy kind of a battle royale-esque game set on Mars, where all the thieves were put on and had to escape.
Yeah, that was good fun.
And
there was just travel aspect to it as well, didn't
it? Well, no, the time travel was your second game you made. The time travel one was where you were stealing, you were robbing a building and you went back through time.
Skyscraper heist, yes.
Yes, and you went back through time to adjust the building to suit your heist.
Yeah. It was modeled just after my normal life, which was great. It was easy to do.
We went from a very, very jokey one to a very high concept one very quickly.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, so Pete is a natural to the audio world, I believe. So he is can I call you a creator of the Miskatonic Playhouse? Or are you a co-creator? What do you
think? I guess member of.
So
I'm a member of the Miskatonic Playhouse podcast, where we play community content written for the Call of Cthulhu RPG. So tabletop role-playing games, that's my bag, and I like a bit of horror.
Excellent. I mean, who doesn't like horror? Me, I don't like horror. but me and Scott actually did move over, as it were, into the world of your podcast, and which we did very recently, didn't we?
It did, yeah. We had a recording a little while back, which is going to be released, tomorrow. So Wednesday, the 18th of October, you can find it on YouTube, you can find it on Spotify, all our usual places, and then you can hear Matt and Scott literally scream like girls, because they're playing a scenario set in a sorority house, which was really good fun.
It was very good fun. I would, no spoilers, but it doesn't go well. No spoilers, but yes, it goes a bit. But what I'll do is I will put a link in the description to the podcast if you want to check it out, if you want to have a listen. To do so, I think by time, because we're recording this the day before, I think if you are listening to this now, it is out, because this is the day delay. They're coming out at the same time. Please go check it out. It will alter your opinion on me and Scott as people. I spent the entire time. It was a horror game. Obviously, a horror game. I personally, you may have heard Scott talk about this in previous episodes, that I get very creep. I creep myself out. My imagination runs away with me. And I recorded in my sister-in-law's office, who does knitting. And knitting, that's very hard. She makes costumes. So behind me the entire time was a life-size mannequin looming over me, and I could see it in my camera, and it was permanently terrifying me, just floating. I thought it was just going to turn into an episode of Doctor Who at any second.
But you were facing away from it, so we are the ones who saw it move and sort of reach for you. You didn't see any of that.
I know, it is one of those things, though, that you, as much as I am a normal human being with a good brain, you did say, oh, did that move? And I just went, yeah, it 100% moved. I convinced myself, I was like, I'm definitely gone here. This is the end of times.
I love how easy it is just to wind you up with the horror stuff.
I know.
It's so much fun.
I have a theory, and this is possibly where this comes out of this this podcast stuff, but you can, people who with a really good imagination and who can visualize things really easily aren't good with horror, because it will stick with them. And I think I've discussed this previously. It's people who can imagine scenes get really struggle with horror, because they go home and they see the horror, they can relive it over and over again, or imagine it in different situations. Whereas if you're not as good at visualizing, you can turn off, because you experience something and then you step away and you've done it. You kind of have done it. You don't really get haunted by it in the same way.
There might be something to that. Although a lot of the people I play with, very imaginative, can, you know, really, their imaginations run wild, but they still love horror. So maybe.
But then if you like that feeling, if you like that feeling, then that's great. I mean, I hate that feeling.
I like being scared. I'm very rarely scared. So when someone scares me, I know it's very good.
I'm 30. If all the lights off are downstairs, I still run upstairs to get to the bed. And I'm 30 years old. Anyway, we're we're moving away from video games, because this is obviously the Gaming Blender podcast. We're going to create a game. But firstly, Pete, I want to find out what's going on in your gaming life. And also, I have a question for you, a gaming question, which I'm going to drop on you. Do you have a game? Because I was thinking about this the other day. Do you have a game that you've played and you bounced off? That you went in going, I'm going to love this. And you went down to sit and play it and you hated it. Now, I have an example of this, which is because I've recently been playing Assassin's Creed Mirage. Go buy it. It's great. It's Assassin's Creed as it's meant to be. It's not any of this rubbish, which was Assassin's Creed Origins, which I started playing. Everybody said it was fantastic. And I went, what is this stupid leveling system? Why is everyone leveling themselves up? Why do I need to go and level myself up before taking on a challenge? Can't I just go and stab people, please?
I think for me, it's got to be that sort of long form type rock star kind of game.
Oh yeah,
I did buy Red Dead 2, and I know you're a bit of a fan of it, but
I'm not. I appreciate it as an art form. As an art form, you put it somewhere and you go, that is brilliant. You've made it. It's incredible. Looks lovely. Fantastic. Well done. Oh, I need to take a bath in it. Do I? Not for me.
Take a shower, shave. Yeah. I think as a piece of cinema, it's probably okay. But I bought that game, I think I bought it on eBay, and then was playing it for the first, I think it was 20 minutes, and nothing had happened, and I was trudging up a mountain, and I got to this point where I was like, I can't go any further with this. And I took the disc out of the PlayStation and then sold it on eBay straight away. I just could not get into it, and I did not want to invest all that time in something so slow.
I definitely think that there's a feeling you have when you're looking over the horizon, you go, I've scratched the surface. And there's a beautiful moment in that. I think Elden Ring does that beautifully, where you go, I've scratched the surface of this incredible world and I can't wait to go deeper. And Red Dead for me was, I've scratched the surface of this incredible world. Anywhere else that I could be, please. Yeah. Someone would invite me out for a drink.
It's the fact that it wouldn't let you do anything. Elden Ring, you start and then it goes, here you go. Here's everything. Just go and learn it and go and do things. But then you get these games like the Rockstar games. It's like, here's the game, but we're not going to let you play it for 45 minutes until we are confident that you know how to play and appreciate this game. That's how it felt. I was like, I don't like that hand-holding. I love Elden Ring. Absolutely love Elden Ring. What I have been eyeing up, though, as in my gaming news, I have been eyeing up Starfield
with a view
to buy the new Xbox, mainly because it's nice. It's just a nice black box that would fit nicely under my TV, not like the abomination of the PlayStation 5.
I get that. I mean, my PlayStation 5, I have got a certain soft spot for just how mad it looks. It just looks like someone said, can I have a console in there? And 14 people have sat on it in the process of it being designed. But I had
a unique disappointment this week when the Slim was announced.
Oh, yes.
And I was looking forward to, I was been waiting for this and I'm like, oh, great, they're going to make it like a little box or something neat like the PS4 Slim. And it came out and it was just the same thing but smaller. And I was like, that's still not going to work in my living room.
I didn't notice it because it's the same thing. I scrolled by, yeah. Oh, they've announced the Slim and they put a picture of the original. That's weird. And then I looked closer and went, oh, no, that is the Slim. Oh.
I just think it's like, they're not marketing this console at adults with living rooms and homes, I guess. Is it for kids? it just looks like a console that you'd see in a teenage boy's room. And there's no way I'd get away with that in my living room.
You have as a 40-year-old man. Under the TV is my domain. And I think I've just put so many wires under there that my fiance doesn't know what she can and can't unplug. So I've created a minefield. So if it stays like that, she'll permanently not be able to take it away. That's my plan.
That's a good way of doing it.
My thing, and I tweeted this way back, was when, you know, the bit in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf is trying to pick which door to go. It's in the Fellowship of the Ring. He's trying to pick which door to go down. And it sort of zooms in on his face and he goes, I have no memory of this place. That's me every time I look behind the telly at the wires. Every time I'm like, I don't know, unplug something, and then so I don't know, the light goes on upstairs. Anyway.
Is that why you still got a PlayStation 2? Because you can't.
SCART.
You can't actually take it out to plug it in a new console.
It's still attached to a SCART TV that's probably just been thrown in a tip. Anyway, we have to create something, Pete. We have to crack on. As much as I'm enjoying reminiscing about video games, we have to crack on. And ladies and gentlemen, the way this will work is Pete will pick a genre followed by two mechanics, or maybe even more if I decide that he's picked two that go together too seamlessly, because we want chaos theory. And then we will go on to write a little narrative to fit our game. Pete, are you ready? And is there anything you don't want to pop up? I think we said this before and you said sport. So anything other than sport.
Well, it's usually always sport. What are the other things I'm not a fan of? I guess, like, I know we covered this a little bit, but I guess management games.
Yeah.
No, I'll take that back, because I like some management games like XCOM and things like that, which have that element to it. I'd say maybe simulators. Not a huge fan of the simulators.
See, I've got into simulators of late. I find it quite relaxing, and you can check out on the Gaming Blender channel, me building a railroad. Anyway, we're going to launch straight into it. So, Pete, you have 1 to 21.
Okay, let's go for number 14.
Okay. It's a well-worn one. Okay. Do you want to know it now, or do you want to pick the mechanics now and then have one info dump?
Let's have the big info dump.
Okay, so pick two between 1 and 39.
Let's go for 4 and 28.
So before I do the info dump, and I'm just going to leave you hanging for a little bit, I came up with the clever, and I thought what was going to be the incredible idea of replacing these the other day. With the Steam tags. I thought that'd be a really clever idea. I'd go through and I'd take all the Steam tags and I'd replace these. So I'd have a massive list, because I thought, oh, there's hundreds there. That'll add a huge amount. And then I looked, and where I looked, it had the most like common games of common tags appeared to the top. And in the top five was sexual content. Not below it was nudity. And that can't come up in the Gaming Blender. I can't have. And Scott, Scott,
he's not featuring your list currently.
Yeah, no. Well, they've never been picked. Scott always seems to circumvent. You're making a first-person shooter with a nemesis system and sexual content. Good luck.
It's so ironic
that.
Considering he films, he records these in the nude as well.
I know. Yeah. That's why I can't go on YouTube anymore. This is why this is just audio only. Anyway, you, sir, and I'm going to make you pick one more. I'm going to make you pick one more number, just to jazz it up a bit, because we've got a decent amount, but I want to jazz it.
Okay, let's go for number three.
Number three. Okay, this is really strange.
Always a good start.
This is something. Okay, I'm going to give you a sort of small sort of. This is something. It's going to sound incredibly dry. It is going to sound really dry. So you have picked a platformer as your genre. So. Mm-hmm. Let's say Spyro, let's say Crash Bandicoot, fun platformers. Your three genres, or features, as it were. Tactical management.
Mm-hmm.
A career mode.
I think
and on a mobile.
On a mobile. Oh, my favorite form of gameplay. I think I should have probably brought that up. It's the one I didn't want to come up.
Okay. I think mobile is a dirty word. I think when I am saying a mobile game, for those of you just listening, because obviously this is hypothetical, so we could do what we want. I think the mobile thing, what it is, it's a restrictor. It means we can't go too big, and it naturally keeps us sort of our feet on the ground. Also, it opens up the sort of style of play of Among Us and limited controls. I think that is because you have the touch screen.
But we can monetize the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be rich men.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be rich as anything.
I mean, that does seem to have a natural home on a mobile, I would say. So maybe
simplicity controls, yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, yeah. I mean, little dry. I'm sure we can eke something out of this, though.
Well, what I'm thinking, I think the angle to look at this from is career mode. How can you make a career mode out of a platformer? Because I think the other two can come. The tactics, you can maybe find a way of just shoehorning that in later on. But how do you have platformers? I suppose one idea that's just thinking career mode, platformer, something where you're jumping up and down, some sort of window cleaning game. So as you jump, you clean windows. So you have to almost clean the entire window as quickly as possible.
That could work. I mean, you start off at the ground floor.
Yep.
I mean, would you need like a climbing ability or climbing gear? Maybe as you advance in your window cleaning job, you can attain more gear to clean higher buildings.
Yeah.
Taller buildings.
You could definitely do it. And what you could also do is, I mean, with the tactics, you got an element of you could pick buildings to do and how long. I've just thrown my pen across the room. You could have this element where you pick a building to do, where they say you have a working day and you know how much you can do in a day. So you go, I'm going to clean that building's windows because I know I can do it in the time I have. Whereas you don't get paid or receive experience for a job you don't complete.
Mm.
So that's the tactical element where you go, okay, well, I've just unlocked the hot air balloon of water clean. I know that that means I can clean these many buildings this quickly. So I'm going to plan to clean those three today.
Mm.
And then you can deal with also angry clients and stuff like that if you don't finish the windows, or you could have to pay a penalty or something along those lines.
Yeah. Would you be able to hire help as you go along? So
you could hire help, or you could even just like, you could have it so you were control to add a different sort of different vibe on the controller. You could have three people you were controlling at the same time. So the amount you clean, but it was more difficult to control. So again, it's that trade off.
It could work a bit like, what's the cooking game? Overcooked.
Oh, yes. It'd be overcooked for window cleaning.
Yeah. Overcleaned.
Overcleaned. We've come up with a name at this stage. We're going to get sued.
It's just some DLC for Overcooked. I mean, I like that. That's such a good game. And you could keep the same sort of style, the same kind of like cartoony elements to it. That would work well on a mobile.
Yeah, no, you could have that. And I think it would be quite... I think you definitely have to go make it funny in the sense if you make the things you unlock really over the top to keep it entertaining, to keep it sort of gameplay-y. So you could have unlocks like... You could have an unlock for a water cannon that makes your character really hard to control. Like it cleans loads of places, but it makes your person like floating in air because it's so powerful.
Like a
fire hose. Yeah, so you have to use like motion controls to keep your bloke steady as you're using it.
As a platformer, I mean... You couldn't just have it as one building because you'd have that sort of 2D view, like sort of the old Spider-Man games on the Mega Drive or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What you'd need is you'd probably need the cityscape, wouldn't you? So you'd need to be able to bounce around a 3D cityscape, cleaning multiple buildings at a time.
What's the name of that game where you had a 3D cityscape and you could move around it, but in 2D and you got to the corner? It was the one where the bloke cancelled the sequel because he had a meltdown.
Oh. Well, I don't know. How recent are we talking?
In the last 10 years, I think. But anyway, I can't remember the name, but essentially it was 2D, but you got to the corner and then you could, it was like you were sort of solving a 3D puzzle, but in 2D because you were moving around each plane. But you could do that.
Hmm. Yeah, that could work.
Because it also made the limitations of you just had the still 2D character. And you could obviously have quite funny things like you could, as you were trying to make your way up, the windows would rattle, meaning someone was going to come out through them and that would knock you off and send you back down to the bottom.
And the taller buildings you go up would have high winds as well. Yep. So you'd have to compete against high winds. If you didn't have the right gear, that tactical management aspect, if you hadn't bought the right harnesses or the right, the right stuff, you'll just get knocked off straight away.
Because you could have such things as silly as you're wearing loose clothing. So loose clothing as you go up turns into almost a sail to blow you off, and you have that penalty. You don't die from falling off, but because you're at the bottom, it means you've got to re-climb your way back up to finish the job. And that's that's the gameplay loop, because if you don't finish the job, you lose experience or don't get experience, whichever way it does. I don't know if you have a penalty or not. Mm. So you're trapped in this perpetual loop potentially. So you have to make sure if you're going to take on a job, you have to know you're going to be able to complete it.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, you could even have just as little NPCs on the board. You could maybe have rival companies as well, rival window cleaners, just for the purpose of trying
That would work really well. That would work really well. Not just knock you off, though, because what you could do is you'd set a plan out going, I'm going to clean this neighborhood, I'm going to clean all these buildings and build up to clean that skyscraper. But if you're too slow about it, the other window cleaning company will have already got to that building.
Mm.
And so you've got to sort of keep an eye on them, pace yourself and make sure you're not going too slow to get overtaken. And then you could have events like a storm could come through a certain area so you can redo. So you don't get to the stage where you're just doing massive buildings. You've got to restart or something along those lines.
I guess as it's a mobile game and we have to monetize this, it's got to be a pure loop of play that will never end. And one of the ways you do it is just you go around the same cityscape. Those windows are going to get dirty again.
Yeah.
So you go back to the same building, the new tools, you can clean it faster, you get more credits or whatever it is. I remember, did you ever play, probably before your time, Ghostbusters on the Sega Master System?
No, I did not.
Back in 1986, I think, 85. And it had this thing where you started as the Ghostbusters, a lot like this. You started with a very small amount of gear and you had a 2D view of the cityscape and the buildings would flash as to when there was going to be a haunting. They'd start to flash as pink when there was going to be one, and then it turned red when there was one and you'd go and visit it. You could have the same thing with the city, where maybe you've got like a little battle map and it shows you the buildings which are going to be cleaned. Maybe they've signed, you know, you're due to go there this day of the week and you've got to get there by a certain time. And oh my God, there's like three buildings all in red. You've got to clean them all at the same time. So that could form part of the tactical management piece, going back to 1986 to draw some inspiration.
No, that would work. I think you've got quite a good loop there in terms of what you need to do and how you do it. The only thing I'm thinking, actually, is we've got to add a plot to this, which could be interesting. So I have a list of plots here, generic narratives, that we have to pick one of.
Okay.
And these are sort of generic things, and we can shoehorn them in. But I think we've got all of our bits and pieces in. So, generic plot 1 to 19, what are you going for?
Let's go for generic plot number 5.
Escape, where the protagonist is trying to escape, does what it says on the tin.
Did I pick 5 last time?
Maybe it was intern. Maybe you were rescued last time. You're working your way down the list.
Yeah, maybe. Escape. Oh, wow. Escaping from a life of drudgery. As
I was just about to say, you could make the social context of escaping from poverty, but I feel like our game is going to be a bit jovial for that heaviness. You can't have a man flying around on a giant fire hose out of control and going, I'm doing this for social injustice.
I mean, just escape from their own personal poverty, maybe. Maybe it's a one-man band or a one-man window cleaning company. Maybe they want to expand and achieve big things.
Yeah, and we said it wasn't dry anymore.
It's not dry. We've got water to wash the windows with.
Hey. I feel like there could be something kind of funny, though, in escape. If you're doing it could be this literal thing of you, rather than taking it head on in terms of escaping your social climate or something, I think maybe you say escaping your borough. So your person's like, let's say that there is a absolute incredible crystal, like similar to in London, where there used to be Crystal Palace. Say there is a similar building in the center of this fictional city. And your character has always wanted to clean it. So the escape is much more like escaping this sort of day-to-day normal cleaning. Go, one day I'm going to go out there and I'm going to clean that palace. And
people are going to say, shard.
And people are going to say, birds are going to fly into it. It's going to be so clean.
What a great thing to aspire to.
I aspire to accidental bird death. And I also aspire to when people think that those doors are open, but they're in fact not. And that slight awkward bump moment. That's what I aspire to.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. I mean, yeah, you got a ton of, if you want to set it in London, you could. And you've got the shard.
Oh, I feel like maybe what you do is you set it in, just not to like beat the drum about, oh, monetizing is bad and monetizing is evil, which we know, but more so you have a city which you can plug in various new structures. So it's like, can you imagine just turning it on and go, the shards become available, or these skyscrapers in Dubai have become available. So it's constantly updating and becoming a new city.
I mean, you charge £1,000 per digital asset. Yes, I think that's a great idea. We're going to make tons of money off this, Matt.
Actually, this does sound doable, with the exception of the advanced AI that you're fighting with. I think everything else kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I do want to. I feel like I want to flesh the plot out a bit more, but it's not. There's nothing speaking to me.
Yeah, I mean, window cleaning. Where can you go with window cleaning?
Maybe. Well, did you ever play the original Pokemon games?
I did, yeah.
Do you ever remember there's a really cheesy bit at the start where you meet your rival?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and at the start where it's like, hey, I will meet you later, but I will go and be Pokemon. and then what you could do is you could do a very similar thing with the window cleaners. You could have a rival, and you're trying to like almost escape from their shadow, just sort of thing. The rival's always been like, I am always the better window. I've been the better window cleaner. You've got to clean them all, and then we'll get sued again.
Could really ramp up that sort of anime,
anime cheesiness.
As well.
And I'm imagining a sort of in my head. You know, in anime, where the character is still, but the background and the camera are moving, then the character does a sort of spin thing to reveal weapon. Well, what you have is he reveals a cloth. or something like that.
I mean, they've done this before, haven't they? With what's the game with the solicitor, the lawyer?
It's not it's the one by the terrible one.
No, it's a good one. It's I've not played it. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna have to Google it.
I know what one you mean. Is it the one where you're the lawyer and you're in the court and it's just really overdone? And really I know overdone, what you mean.
Really melodramatic, and you've got to make your case. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I've not played that. I really want to, but it could be that kind of style because obviously courtroom can be pretty dry. As soon as you put that anime styling on it, it's suddenly exciting.
I really love the idea of bad dub as well. I find bad dub really funny. I like the idea of them turning around and just going and just making lots and lots of mouth movements, and then all of them like, yes, I will.
I think that would work well in this.
I think that would work. Well, we've diverged slightly from the escape plot, but I think this is far funnier. Just have little cut scenes as you like clean your first building. Ha! You call that clean?
Yeah, I think this works. I think this works. It's viable.
Do you
Let's
think
monetize it?
Well, do you? I'm going to do my quick summary while I pick up my pen. While I'm doing my quick summary, I want you to think about whether Overcleaned is still the name you want. So this is a platformer where you play a window cleaner's career, in fact, on a mobile, where you tactically go around the city working out what you can clean in order to gain experience as a window cleaner and earn more money, devices, and upgrade yourself in order to clean the biggest and best buildings and keep that loop going. You'll be fighting against another AI company led by your rival, who is completely over the top, and we've done it very anime and very, very cliche and cheesy, and it's going to be absolutely hilarious. And you're in this made up city where we can plug in buildings as and when, just to add amazing things from history, from past, present, new, that you can go in and clean. And Pete, what do you want it called?
How about Shine City?
Oh yes, Shine City. That's cool. Welcome to Shine City.
Shine City. You've got to be careful how you say it.
Yeah, that's just true.
Shine City. Shine City. Shine. Don't say it fast. Say it slowly.
Shine then Hamlet. Shine small shine village.
Shine City.
Where is Shine? Shine City. Shine. Yeah, that's true, actually. Mum, yeah. Dad, I want Shine City. How dare you? No. Shine City. Oh, sorry.
Shine City. you're just giving some, you're just giving the reviewers something there to grab onto when they actually review it and give it a terrible review.
Well, my the favorite one was there was a game years ago called Remember Me, and all the reviews went, eh.
Forgettable.
Forgettable. Remember Me? Not really.
Ace Attorney, that's what it's called.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I need to check that out, actually. Yeah. There's a load of stuff I want to check out. Anyway, that has been our game. We have created, as I pause while I think about saying it, Shine City, which I think is an exceptional mobile game, and I hope someone listens to this podcast and picks it up. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. Yeah, it's been wonderful being with Pete, being with you. You should do this again sometime. Make sure you take your coat on the way out. But please leave us a lovely review if you enjoyed it. Please check out the other episodes. And please, please, please check out the Miskatonic Playhouse podcast, because it is ace and everybody needs to check it out. In the meantime, I have been Matt.
I've been Pete.
It sounds weird to say that. I'm so used to it. And Scott. And
sorry.
Here you go.
I've been not Scott.
And he's been not Scott. Keep blending. Bye-bye now.
Bye.